On this episode of Bantha Milk Podcast, around the Djarik table, we have two new guests and four new questions.
Intro music.
That was Nick, my other co-host of our normal show. He made that. So he's very proud of it. I think he spent 10 minutes working on it. So
snazzy and jazzy.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, welcome to Bantha Milk Podcast presents Around the Djarik Table, a roundtable discussion group discussing the greatest movie and TV series of all time, Star Wars. Last week, we had a friend of mine, Eric, on. He's on a whole bunch of other podcasts, one of which I stole this idea from. And he got mad at me that my intro was exactly the same as his. And I said, you know, flattery is, you know, whatever. So I had to change it up a little bit. So I don't know if I really like that. But we're going with it for this episode. Each week, we invite two friends to the show to come on with a question. And we all discuss each of our four questions. I'm your host, Rob. And every episode, I'll be joined by my co-host, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going, Rob? So... Apparently, I found out last week that I'm only good for half an episode. So once I finish half an episode, Rob just cuts me off. So
I do. I just cut you out of there.
Hopefully, I make it for a full episode this week.
Yeah, we'll see if you can make it to the whole episode. Your answers and questions weren't very good for the second half. So I just cut you out.
I thought they were pretty good.
They were very good. All right, we have two very special guests with us this week. First, we have Colton. I'm going to say your last name wrong, so you can say it for me, please, Colton, so I don't butcher it. How do you say this? Ogburn. There we go. That's what I was going to say. The problem, and guess what? I'm a teacher, and I have to say kids' names all the time, and I butcher them all the time, and they get so mad at me, so I apologize. Colton Ogburn, who comes from us from Screen Crush. Colton, please tell us a little bit more about yourself. Anything at all that you want to tell us?
Oh, there's not much to tell, but I'm the other guy on Screen Crush, as I'm usually called. I'm a staff writer primarily with Screen Crush. I occasionally host and do some commentary. I do most of our thumbnails. I'll hop on a video edit here or there, just wherever I'm needed. But yeah, I'm a nerd. I love Star Wars. I'm often kind of referred to as a Marvel guy, but Star Wars is definitely my first love. So it's good to be here.
Yeah, awesome. You don't have to choose. You can definitely like Star Wars and Marvel.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Now they're in the same family.
They are.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
I'm real fast. I'm part of the Ears Up Network. We have all these other shows on there, and one of them is called Puny Pod. They do all Marvel stuff to our Bantha Milk that does all Star Wars stuff. So, you know, you could jump in anywhere you want there and everybody will love you. We also have Ears Up In Depth, Scraping the Vault, and The Supreme Resort. Check out any one of those shows. I forgot to plug them last week, so I wanted to plug them this week.
Colton, I just want to jump in real quick. Colton, you guys do a great job with Screen Crush. I love watching your channel.
Thank you
guys
so much.
Are so in depth with your videos. It's like a nerd's dream.
You're too kind. Thank you.
I'm also going to swoon because when I watch them, especially like, you guys put them out so quickly. Screen Crush, for those of you who don't know, Screen Crush does a lot of reaction videos and explanation videos, I guess would be better than a reaction video. You explain everything that happens. Marvel, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Willy Wonka, who knows? Did you do a Willy Wonka reveal yet? No?
We didn't end up doing Wonka. Disrespect to that movie, though.
I understand. But anything that's nerd... movie, TV show, whatever, you guys always have a explanation video right after the next day for all these shows, and they're always so in depth. And you guys have to. Were you a writer, or did you go to school for writing, or did Ryan? Because you guys are talking about stuff with camera edits, and you know, two shots versus one shot, and a one shot makes you do this, and a two shot tells you this, and whatever. Like, did you guys do that in college?
Well, you know, I'm actually not sure what Ryan majored in school. But I can tell you about me. I went to the University of North Texas, where I wanted to get into film school. but my grades weren't quite high enough to get into the film program, probably because I'd spent a lot of my time focusing on my YouTube channel, which is how Ryan ended up discovering me and asked me to come on to Screen Crush. And yeah, that's been my life since then. I didn't end up going to film school or anything, but I did make a lot of like indie films and stuff, short films. Ryan did a lot of that. So that's kind of where we've got our knowledge about like the filmmaking side of things, you know, PAing on like movies and stuff. So that's probably where that knowledge comes from. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys, like Tom said, you guys do an amazing job.
And a quick shout out. I know you said we have a quick turnaround. All the credit goes to our awesome team of editors, by the way. We would definitely not be able to get stuff out as quick as we do without our team of video editors.
Yeah, because, I mean, when Ryan's talking, you guys have the most obscure clips going over top of it. You know, something, he's talking about something that happened in a movie from 72 or whatever, and the clip is there already. Like, it's very impressive. Yeah. So awesome. Well, that's one of our guests. We have another guest with us as well, Ken Bishop. He has multiple podcasts he's going to tell us all about. His latest one is the Rambling Star Wars Fan Podcast. So, Ken, now it's your turn in the spotlight. Tell us everything there is about Ken Bishop.
Well, I don't know if you've got that much time, but I'll try to narrow it down into just a few minutes. And at the risk of sounding a lot fancier than I am, I'm actually involved in three different shows. So I started off with the forces behind Star Wars. Then I graduated to the Inflatable Falcon. And we get together every Wednesday night. And my solo show is the Rambling Star Wars Fan. And that just started this year. And so I've been working on that. And I got to say, as another set of props to Screen Crush, I'm amazed at where you're able to dig up all of those little Easter eggs, whether it's in a comic book, a short story, or one of the films like Rob was saying from the 70s that connect to all of this. So I'm super stoked to be here with all of you tonight to chat about Star Wars. And I probably should say to everyone, just so that you're aware, I subscribe to the I Love Star Wars Fan Club. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, just gush about how fantastic it is from top to bottom, inside to out.
Well, that's good. We need more fans like that, because everybody's, and last week when we had Mark Anthony Austin on, he was saying what happens is everybody's old and grumpy now, and they wish that Star Wars did what they wanted them to do, but because they didn't write it, they're upset that it wasn't written the way that they wanted it. And so there are so many of us that are always so grumpy. Oh, they should have done this or they should have done that. So it is fun to have people who are happy for Star Wars and enjoy Star Wars.
And he has a great attitude about it. He was basically saying, you know, that wasn't what was in my head, but that's interesting the way that they did it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, so let's get into it with our first question. I'll start this week with my first question, which I for a normal day-to-day travel right now on Earth, whatever universe this is, Marvel universe this is that we're in, how would you, if the Star Wars spaceships were real and we had one, how would you go about your daily business? What spaceship would you have to go about your daily business if they were real and we could actually fly? Colton, you're up first.
Okay, well, I'm going to focus in on the wording of your question. You said daily travel. So
yes.
I'm going to focus in on that, because if it were just which Star Wars universe spaceship would I like to have, totally going with the Falcon. But since it's like a daily commuter, I'm going to go with a Naboo Starfighter. I think that would just be a quick way to get around. Got blasters in case I need, you know, in case I run into some trouble or somebody cuts me off. I got a little place in the back where I can put my nephew or my cat, you know, where the astromech droid's supposed to go. So that's going to be my choice as a Naboo Starfighter. I'm also going to strip the paint down. I want it to look like Din's, have that metallic finish. So yeah, I'm going to go with that.
I like it. Okay, now you send it to the next person.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ken, what about you?
Well, I did the same thing that you were doing, looking at that day-to-day travel. And my first choice would probably be a bark speeder with the sidecar. you know, so if I need to get anywhere, I need to have somebody with me instead of hopping on the back, they could sit next to me. So whether it's Grogu or even Ahsoka in one of the episodes of the Clone Wars, they even went so far as to make it fancy by putting a paint job of a Rancor on it. But if the weather got bad, I'd probably have a V-35 land speeder like we saw in some of the other shows. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to Tom to hear his thoughts on this speeder question.
So I'm going to say what Colton said about, you know, different types of vehicles for different jobs. So if it's my long distance traveling, X-Wing fighter is my way to go. It's one of the best Star Wars vehicles ever designed. It's just a really cool design. If I'm traveling short distances, I'd probably have to go with the speeder bike like they used on the Battle of Endor. I love the sound that vehicle makes. It's just a really neat. And we talked last week about there it is. We talked last week about how that was my favorite scene from Star Wars was the Battle of Endor. I saw you had the little toy. Was that the original Kenner one or is that a little model?
No, this is the new vintage collection.
Oh, okay.
It comes with the Scout Troop. Yeah,
very cool. Nice. So I had the Kenner one that when you hit the buttons on the side, it actually broke apart and busted apart. You guys remember that?
I do remember that. Yes. Yep.
So that was really neat. Of course, I lost all the pieces within 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a really neat speeder. But I think my favorite means of travel of everything, it's going to be a really different answer, is Yoda's little hover pad. You remember that from episode
the hover round?
Two, maybe?
Yeah.
Where he basically just sits like a genie on that little hover pad, and he doesn't have to walk. It basically like takes him all over the place. I thought that was really neat. I would love to have one of those. Well, those are my three answers.
That thing is awesome in Lego Star Wars. I don't know if you guys remember. Yeah. When you play
Yoda. Yeah. And it actually goes really fast. Yes. Yeah. That thing travels really fast, a lot faster than I thought. So I would love one of those. Rob, how about you?
They're all great answers. They're just the wrong answer.
Of course.
I did word it the way I did on purpose because, of course, who wouldn't want the Millennium Falcon or even Din Djarin's first ship? Oh, gosh, I have the Lego version of it. I can't remember the name
of
it.
The Razor Crest,
yes.
I thought that was going to be your answer, Rob.
Right. But, you know, I don't want to drive a motorhome all over the place for my daily driver. So I'm going to stay away from the Razor Crest. I, too, am thinking small. So I was thinking like the XJ6, which was what Obi-Wan and Anakin were flying around in episode two when Anakin was, you know, flying through Coruscant. And he's like, oh, it's about time you got here, blah, blah, blah.
The one with the yellow body and open cockpit.
Yeah, the open cockpit yellow one. That one's fun. It's like a convertible. It'd be like the Corvette, you know, of speeders. But when it rains, I was thinking also, you know, like Ken was, I would want the snow speeder. Growing up, that was my favorite ship. And even though it won't leave the planet, it doesn't have the propulsion to get off of the planet. On Earth, we're not leaving the planet anyway, so who cares? So I would probably go with the snow speeder. And just like Colton said, it's got two giant blasters on it. So really, if somebody cut me off, they would be disintegrated immediately, if not sooner. And, you know, if I really wanted to, I could, you know, send the grappling hook out and wrap around some building or whatever to stop or something like that. So that was my answer.
That's a good answer. Rebels did have some good vehicles.
Yeah,
they did. They had some good ships.
Yeah, they had a lot of really cool, fun ships. So that's question one all done. Now, Colton, it's your turn to ask your question.
All right. My question is a little similar. What creature in the Star Wars universe would you like to have as, whether it be a pet or a guard dog or whatever that might be? Ken, you go first.
So if it's possible to domesticate one, I would love a Loth Wolf.
Yeah.
Because they're ginormous. they have special abilities that allow you to travel, at least it seems like, through a planet to get to places. And who's going to mess with you when you have a dog that's, you know, like an entire story tall? Because some of those dogs were pretty big from what I remember. So I'd go with a Lothwolf or Lothwolf. And how about you, Tom? What would you pick as your animal?
So again, I have a weird choice. I always have weird choices. It's a running joke between my wife and I that I've always wanted an alpaca farm. And if I ever get rich and get money, I want to have an alpaca farm. So my choice is kind of weird. It is the Caddo from Naboo. They're kind of like bird looking. They almost look like ducks. It was in episode one, I believe, or maybe episode two, when Anakin goes back to Naboo with Padme. I believe you could see Caddos in there. It's also in episode one. Caddos are the bird looking things that the what's Jar Jar's race?
The Gungans.
Called? The Gungans. The Gungans, yeah. Rode Caddo.
Yeah.
So I just thought they were interesting. They're actually really fast. Rob and I play Star Wars Galaxies still. And when we play Star Wars Galaxies, we live on Naboo and there's Caddo everywhere. And they're just, I think they're really neat creatures.
When you clean up after them, do you have to clean up Caddo do?
Probably clean up Caddo do do.
Okay. Yes. Just making sure.
They'll be here all week, folks. I need a rim shot sound effect. That's how Colton do it.
I'll put that in post.
Yeah. Tip your waiters and waitresses. Can't be here all week.
Rob, how about you? And I'll be disappointed if your answer is not a creature from Star Wars Galaxies.
Well, I was thinking of the Eoppies that are Star Wars Galaxies, and then I was thinking of what were the big ones in Star Wars Galaxies? The ones we were just killing last week.
Fombas,
yeah. But what I actually went with, I was like, okay, animals. I was like, a baby Rancor, they're cute. If you saw Rebels, in Rebels, they had to like take a baby Rancor back, and they found out they were taking it back to Jabba. So then, you know, all the theories were that they were taking back the Rancor that Luke killed. So baby Rancors are cute, but then they grow up to be big and scary and not very controllable. So I don't think that would be a good choice. I was thinking a little realistic. So I was thinking like a Tauntaun would be fun because it's like a horse, kind of like your Caddos are. So they would be fun to ride, although, you know, they're kind of smelly from what I hear. So I figured I had to go with our namesake because I wanted to be ridiculous because this isn't possible. So I don't have to worry about feeding it or anything like that. But I didn't want to be overly ridiculous because who could afford a Rancor? But yeah, I was going to go with a Bantha because, you know, my show is called Bantha Milk. So got to go with a Bantha for Bantha Milk. And they look like they're fun. They're, you know, giant furry elephants, whatever. So yeah, so that you can ride them, you can milk them, you can do all kinds of different things with them. Colton, this was your question. You had to have a great answer in mind. So go ahead and tell us what the correct answer is.
Well, my first thought was also a Rancor. I mean, who wouldn't want to ride around on a Rancor? No one is going to mess with you, except maybe Luke Skywalker if you have a Rancor. But then I got to thinking about it. I hate scooping the litter box, so I can't even imagine having to clean up after a Rancor. Uh-huh. I don't know where I'm going to keep the thing. So, and that got me thinking, okay, what's small? So I'm going to go with a Porg. I'm going to go with a little Porg. They're cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of like a little cat. I'm a cat guy. So, that, or, you know, I could have gone with a, now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Lothcat. I'm switching.
Lothcat. Is that allowed? Are we going to allow that? Last minute changes?
No last minute changes are allowed. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Lothcats. It's funny that you asked this question because I was saying to my normal co-host, Nick, about how we don't see a lot of pets, like real pets in Star Wars. Like we finally just started seeing Lothcats. There's animals all over the place. You know, there were Porgs on the island, but they weren't following Luke around like baby ducks would follow around a mama duck or anything. So you don't really see a lot of people who have pets. You know, the Lothwolf is huge. So it's like that can't be, you know, that's not a real pet because it's way too big. So it was interesting when they did finally show us Lothcats and that people kept them as pets and they were sitting on people's laps and stuff. Because before that, I felt like we didn't see very many animals at all.
Yeah.
So where does this group fall on blurgs? Like, what are your opinions on the blurg?
Yeah. I mean, they're hard to train and ride, right? So, they would be a little tough, but you know, and I don't know, they looked a little slimy and leathery. I don't know, whatever. They would be cool though. I don't
What do you think
them.
It would be like to have Salacious Crumb as
my God.
As a pet?
Yeah. I was going to say that too.
It'd be pretty interesting.
He's the perfect hype man if you just want somebody to carry around with you and 100%. Laugh at your joke.
I got this one from Star Wars or from Disney, and he just like sits here and just like creeps people out all the time. So, yeah, he would be a good hype man. It was fun when they when Dave Filoni had one of them on the spit in Mandalorian. I was like, yes, that's right. That's what you get.
Yeah, you know right what? Next to a cage of them.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
So they know what the next choice is.
They're like, uh-oh, I know what's coming next.
If you're a comedian, you have to have one of those as a pet. Actually, get a whole group of them because your stuff will go over really, really well.
It sure would. They would just be laughing at you the whole time. It would be awesome. All right, so that's halfway through. So, Ken, you have question three.
Yeah, so this is going to be a wild one for all of you. And so, you know, I mentioned earlier that I'm a big fan of all Star Wars. I love it all. And so if there was going to be another variety show like the holiday special, what musical guest would you have on that special and or what songs would they perform? And I'll turn it over to Tom for the first response.
I think that's a really interesting question. Do any of you guys watch Robot Chicken? Have you seen the Star Wars Robot Chicken
I've
stuff?
I've seen
though?
The Star Wars one, yes. Yeah.
They have some variety show type songs in there that are pretty funny. So that immediately jumped in my mind. But I'm like, no, this needs to be like a real variety show, not like Robot Chicken. So I was thinking back to a couple weeks ago, Bantha Milk Podcast had a guest on where they created rock Star Wars music. Rob, what was the name of that guest you
Galactic
guys had on?
Empire. Galactic Empire.
And it's really neat stuff. So that got me thinking, I think my first musical number would have to be Metallica to have some type of like rock music. Start like metal music. It'd probably be like some type of like rebellion song.
Okay.
And to change it up a little bit after that, I think The Weeknd. I think he's got a really cool vibe. I don't know what he would sing about. Maybe Lando. Like do some smooth number about Lando or Han or something. I'd also love to see in this variety show, because you got to mix it up, Eminem do a parody of Star Wars where he just trashes it. So that would be the beginnings of my variety show. Have those three guests on singing about Star Wars. I have no idea if they even like Star Wars, if they even follow Star Wars. I would love to ask them that, but those would be my three acts on the variety show. Rob, what do you think?
So we watched the holiday special and commented on it kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000. And it was so bad, but I do remember, and I had to go to the Wikipedia page to see who all the special people were that were on during the normal people who were on. They had B. Arthur was on there. Art Carney, Diane Carroll, Harvey Korman were all in there, and Jefferson Starship did a song. So judging off of the talent that they had at the time, and you could tell Harrison Ford wanted nothing to do with it also, by the way. So judging by the talent that they had at the time, I was like, okay, who would fit with this? And I know by listening to other podcasts that Sean Hayes is a huge Star Wars fan. So I was like, okay, he could definitely be one of the stars of it because he can sing. I guess he can dance also probably. And he's pretty funny. He's a good actor and a good writer. So I would say Sean Hayes. Angela Kinsey from The Office, she always talks about how much she loves Star Wars. And I think, I don't want to say B-level actors and actresses, but these people were, I think at the end of their run, B. Arthur came back with the Golden Girls after that. But like the rest of these were like kind of at the end of their run. So they were probably pretty cheap to get to do this. So I would say Angela Kinzig would be willing to do it, and they could probably get her at an affordable rate. And then I was like, okay, so what musical guest could they have? And I was just thinking of the type of music that I could feel. So I was thinking Mumford and Sons would be a good band to play, or even for, I don't know why, I don't even know if he likes Star Wars or doesn't, but for some reason I feel Ed Sheeran would do a great song for a good Star Wars song for some unknown reason. I have no idea why. But so that's a fun question, and that's my take on it. I know, Colton, you only got these questions about an hour ago, so I don't know if you spend a lot of time thinking about it or not, but it's your turn to answer, so go for it. Let's see what you got.
I have one that I think's better than everybody's. Weird Al. Weird Al. Nice.
Oh, great choice.
Yes.
That's so obvious that you didn't even think of it.
I know.
So I'm kind of scared here, because I know the mic is going to come to me, and so you just got this question a couple hours ago, and one of my choices, I had scenes picked out for my musical guests as well. So one of the scenes I had was a cantina scene, because if you're going to have a Star Wars thing, it needs a cantina scene, and Weird Al would be in the cantina as a patron, not even as a patron, but as a performer. And somebody would go to him and ask him to play a song. And he was originally playing just typical Star Wars-y stuff. And then he broke out into his song about Anakin Skywalker, the one that he made famous. So there's that one scene. I don't know how you managed to do it, Colton. I'm kind of mystified and stupefied.
He read your mind.
The second and third are exactly what Tom had in mind, was this rock band kind of thing. And in fact, I even picked Metallica, except I would up it a notch. It would be Metallica with an entire orchestra, you know, led by John Williams, and they would play the song Master of Puppets, you know, in honor of Sheev Palpatine.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and then just as a fun one to throw the Galactic Empire in there, just because they're an amazing band that takes real Star Wars music and adds that metal edge. So I don't know how you guys managed to pick all of my thoughts. So this is really scary. I'm not sure if I want to come back on the show if you're going to read my mind like that.
So I want to go back to Colton. What exactly would you do? Because we heard what
Ken
would do with Weird Al. What did you picture in your head? Was it the same thing that he had?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I would just love if Weird Al would come back and parody, like, because wasn't that first one, it was about Phantom Menace, right? Saga Begins.
Yeah. Yep.
I want to see him do the rest of the movies. That's what I want to see. I want to see a parody sum up of the sequel trilogy. Maybe do Force Awakens. I'd really like to see Force Awakens. That'd be fun.
That's awesome. All right. So, Ken, you almost gave us your whole answer already. Do you have more?
No, those were the ones. And I know that a lot of people aren't fans of the holiday special. And I may not think it's fantastic, you know, for what it is. And I still like it. And I'm so glad that you were willing to play along and throw some modern stuff into a variety show with the Star Wars theme to it. So thank you for that.
Awesome.
Ken, Metallica did perform with a symphony orchestra before, right?
Yeah,
remember what songs?
Well, they did an entire album. It was called S&M, and they did Master of Puppets. They did.
It was good.
It was huge, and it was the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra.
Yes,
I think.
That's what it was. Yep.
You know, and it was.
Now imagine doing one with John Williams, like you said. That would be perfect.
Yeah, and especially if you could figure out a way of making all of the instruments and the microphone glow like they did in the original holiday special, that would just kick it up a couple notches.
Yeah.
It sure would. All right. Well, that's Ken's question down. So now, last but not least, we have Tom, and your feed still looks like you're still part of the group here, so we'll be able to hear your question this week.
Oh, well, you assume we all heard the question last week.
But we did. That we did, yeah.
I was just an invisible talking head. So my question will go over to Rob first. My question is, what is your favorite time period in all of Star Wars lore and why?
So I don't know much about the time before the Skywalker era. I know they're working on movies now that are going to take place, what, 1,500 years before, 500 years before, whatever it is, when there's going to be a whole bunch of Jedi and all kinds of stuff like that. So I was thinking of just in between the movies, the time period. And every single time, there's always major conflict. Now, when we saw the Andor TV series, it seemed that the noble people of Coruscant weren't bothered too much by the Empire ruling, because they were still doing well and they were still going about their business, apparently as well as we are doing in America these days. They didn't seem to be, you know, really, really bothered by anything. So I thought maybe during that time frame, because if we're just normal people, we're not fighting a war, we're not, you know, Galactic Empire or Rebels or anything like that. For normal people, it seemed like they got along pretty well. But I think I would have to have a very short time period, which is the 6 months after Return of the Jedi, because that's when they blow the Death Star up, the Empire is done, everybody is happy, there's no more Empire, good guys win. Because then we see come Mandalorian and the TV series that are out now that everything starts to go downhill again. But for that first 6 months, it's a very joyous time. Yay, we won. Everybody's happy. Everybody's free. So I think it would probably be a very short time period of that 6 months where everybody's happy. Everybody's having a great time before there's now this churning of this uprising starting all over again. Because I like happy times. So that is pretty much my answer to that. Colton, it's up to you to tell us what you think.
That's a hard one. Yes. But I'll probably have to say the prequel era. And I'm not saying that because that's like when my favorite movies take place or something. I just think it's a really cool era for Star Wars. I mean, you have the Jedi, you know, at their highest point. You've got Star Wars politics, which I adore Star Wars politics, so that's fun. what I love about the original trilogy and even in the sequel trilogy, I love the feeling of a lived-in universe, so I think that's really cool for those movies. But the prequel era, it just feels so shiny and despite the Clone Wars, it does feel like a relatively happy time, like pre-Clone Wars and stuff. And, you know, you've got I'd say it's one of the most science fiction feeling eras in Star Wars with, you know, the depths of Coruscant and stuff like that. So I'm going to go with the prequel era. I'm on the younger side, so that was kind of my childhood. Like, I think the first Star Wars movie I saw in theaters was Attack of the Clones. So that was like, you know, seeing that that ship chase with Anakin and Obi-Wan on Coruscant. I remember seeing that on the big screen. So that, you know, that just was kind of a special time to me. So yeah, I'm gonna go with the prequel era.
I'm gonna even for us who saw the other movies, that with all the extra CGI that went into the prequels, it was very stimulating to the eyes as well. So even for us who saw Return of the Jedi and Empire and maybe even A New Hope in the theaters, they weren't as flashy because they, you know, it wasn't all computerized and everything. So even for me, I remember watching it and being like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, you know? And then, like you said, then you think about what actually the movies did and it wasn't as impressive, but visually it was very stimulating even for those old heads like me who saw the other movies previously in the theater as well. So I didn't mean to cut you off there, but go ahead. I think you're supposed to send it to Ken, but then I cut you.
I was just about to throw it over to Ken.
I think I'm right there with you in terms of visually stunning and also just the variety of the visuals. So you can go to Naboo and see one kind of environment and one kind of architecture, or you can go to Coruscant and see the flashy, glitzy, glamorous stuff, go to the opera. You know, hang out, you know, with your friends, you know, at a real cool diner. you know, after you've spent the whole night out at the Outlanders Club. So I definitely think that the prequel era would be a fun one. And we aren't yet at the Clone Wars, so we don't have, you know, battles raging everywhere. So we're a little bit safer than in some of the other times of Star Wars. So how about you, Tom? What's your favorite era?
So I'm the complete opposite of all of you. and like Rob's thinking of, oh, he likes the happy times. My favorite time visually, you know, just the everything that was going on was during just before and after Empire Strikes Back. When the Empire is in its heyday, you don't question the Empire, and you basically have this band of rebels constantly on the run. And the Empire splitting them up. They're all over the galaxy. They're not even cohesive. They don't even know where each other are. You know, their heroes, their leaders are all captured. To me, that was my favorite time of Star Wars. And, you know, as a kid, I was, you know, around, I guess, 8-9 years old around then, you know, playing with my toys. I loved the fact that it was always the Empire coming down on the rebels. I always made the rebels have to try to be the underdog and try to come back whenever I had my little play battles, my Kenner figures. So that was just a really interesting time for me to have this big bad Empire, and then you had these rebels constantly on the run. That was just the most interesting for me.
You didn't put your Kenner action figures in like political debates, or you know, have them run for election debates or anything like that.
Did
discussing
not
trade routes.
That I know you guys, you know, said you do enjoy the political debates of the first couple of movies. I did not like them at all.
Chancellor Valorum.
Which is kind of weird because I really enjoyed it in Andor.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't know if it was just done a different way, but I was waiting so long for a new Star Wars movie since Return of the Jedi. And then when that's what we got for Episode 1, I was disappointed. Now, I've grown to like it and enjoy it because it's Star Wars. And as I said last week, Star Wars is like pizza. Every slice is good. But to start off with political intrigue, it just didn't spark my, you know, I don't know how many years of waiting it was. How long
16.
Were we waiting, Rob?
Yeah, 16.
16
yeah.
years. It felt like forever.
It did.
So, you know, it didn't hit me the same way that any of the other movies. Like Force Awakens, we waited a long time for another Star Wars movie and Force Awakens came out. I really enjoyed Force Awakens. I thought it was a perfect reset for three new characters. Now, what came after that kind of spoiled it. It's me. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, no, I like your answer. I didn't realize that you and maybe you didn't know that they were based off of the Germans.
but you know what? Actually, that you say that, I obviously hate Nazis, but I really do like studying World War II stuff.
Yeah.
And love, you know, reading about D-Day and all that stuff and all the battles that led up to, you know, the fall of the Nazi Empire. So it's not really about the Empire being in charge. It was about this underdog band of rebels who were being chased all over the galaxy, eventually, you know, knock off this giant galaxy-wide empire.
Right. Well,
which,
you know,
which was the great story for me.
If whoever designed the Death Star put that one little hole in there that nobody could shoot a blaster into, it'll be all right. You'll be fine. It's okay. All right, but yeah, no, that's awesome. All those answers, it was great. This was a fun time this week. I'm really, we had four great questions, including my own. Thank you very much. And a lot of good discussion. You guys were awesome. I want to thank both of you, Colton and Ken, for showing up. At this point, Colton, this is your last chance. If you ever watch Hot Ones, this is your time. That camera. Go ahead and plug yourself away. Do whatever you want to say, whatever you want to say about yourself. Where can we see you? We can follow you on Instagram, at Facebook, all that stuff. Go for it. Tell us whatever you want to tell us.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for having me on. It's a good time. I'd love to do it again sometime. You can find me over on Screen Crush's YouTube channel. You can find me on Twitter or X or whatever it's called for the time being, at Colton Ogburn. And yeah, I write, and you can see me pop up in videos and stuff on Screen Crush. It's a good time. So if you haven't checked out our channel, be sure to do so.
Definitely will do that. What about Threads? Are you on Threads, the new Instagram X?
I'm not sure that I need to. There's one called Blue Sky or something, I think. I got to that or something. I don't know. I'm not good at the social media thing. I finally got put on Twitter when I got this job. So yeah, and then it just went downhill.
So you ruined Twitter. We found out who it was. Yeah. It was Colton. Colton tore up Twitter. There you go. It's funny. I think I posted one thing. Threads is Instagram's Twitter, which is kind of funny to me because you can post pictures just like you can do on Instagram, except now you can like write more captions, kind of like Twitter. And I'm like, okay, do I need another social? Like at this point, I barely post onto the ones that I have. So, so it was pretty funny when that showed up. Ken, go ahead. Your turn. That camera, whatever you're looking at over anywhere, go ahead and tell us all about, once again, refresh our memory as to all the podcasts that we can listen to you on.
Sure thing. All the cameras. And I want to say thanks for having me on. And I'm so glad to know that I'm not the only adult person who, A, talks about playing with action figures and or still has access to them at arm's reach. I noticed that you grabbed a couple there, Colton, during our show. So I'm so glad I'm not the
only one. Pick a name.
Yeah. Do I hear Jar Jar Binks? Do you have a Jar Jar Binks?
Well, he's going to find it.
Listen, it's no different than when we were kids, except we can afford these toys now.
Right, now we can actually buy them.
We buy what we want.
Yeah, now we have real work money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
There it is. You found them.
Excellent. We have spotted Jar Jar. And so,
I'm a very
simple man. I love simple things, and action figures fall right into that category. In terms of me, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram as Ken Bishop. I'm on the Forces Behind Star Wars. That was our original show. That was a handful of guys and I got together. Anthony, Demetrius, Dexter, Steven, and Andrew. We put that show together every Wednesday night, or just about every Wednesday night, on YouTube at around 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can find me, my buddy Mike Hinton, and my other buddy John Scalise flying around on the inflatable Falcon. And yes, there is a story behind that name. And if you would like to donate to our Kickstarter, we are hoping to get $11,000 to buy an inflatable Falcon. And then my most recent...
The Bounce House one? Is it, yes, the Bounce House one? Yeah.
The Bounce House one, yes. And our show started off as a joke. Mike's daughter is on the... She's a half of the duo of Star Wars Geek Girls. So Zoe Hinton is on that show. And Mike was putting together we were practicing using some new podcasting software. And so he asked John and I to get on and test it out. So we got on and tested it out. And the next thing you know, we've been getting together every Wednesday night for over a year recording that show.
That's fun, so, yeah.
And that's great. The inflatable Falcon. And then that solo project, the Rambling Star Wars Fan, just started this year, and I'm hoping to see where it goes in 2024. I've got some fun ideas from a picture standpoint, some fun ideas from a podcast show standpoint, and just be prepared. I may be sending invitations to you guys to be on as guests. And who knows, I may be up on YouTube with that show as well in 2024.
Nice. I would love it. We would love it. All right. Well, thank you both of you. Once again, like I said, this was great. You guys were fun. And if you actually mean that you would love to come back anytime, I would love to have you guys again, because you know what you're talking about. It's a lot of fun. And I like talking to people who actually know. And, some of my friends at school were like, oh, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. What's that one with Luke guy in it? I'm like, yeah, you're a huge Star Wars fan. Yeah, I'll have you on the podcast real soon, I promise. So from all of us here, don't forget to check out the rest of Ears Up In Depth, all those other ones, Scraping the Vault, the Taco Supreme or Supreme Resort, whatever they're called, I don't know. They're all Disney stuff. And then We're going to see Colton soon on the Puny Pod as well. That's a Marvel one. I'm just kidding, Colton. You don't have to do their show also.
I'd love to.
But from all of us here, I haven't found a good ending for this show yet, so I'm just going to go with the old traditional, may the force be with you to all
of you. We'll find a better one.
We'll find a better one soon, yes. Thank you guys very much.